Hi, welcome to How Did You Learn to Do That, where you will hear tips, guidance, and stories to help you to have a fulfilling life and career. The inspirational stories that you will hear from people will inspire you to know that you can create anything you want in your life, and it just takes commitment and action. So I'm excited to have you here. I'm excited for you to hear these stories, these guidance, and the tips that I'll be sharing. And if you have any questions, you can always reach out to me, info@howdidyoulearntodothat.com. And you can connect with us on social media. We're on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. At How Did You Learn to Do That? And we would love if you could help us grow and expand this podcast by reviewing us on Apple Podcasts as well as on YouTube and sharing the episodes with your family and your friends and helping us continue to spread the message that we all are deserving of a fulfilling life and we can be the catalysts in our lives to create that. All right, stay tuned for the next episode. Hi, everyone. I'd like to welcome Ashley to the podcast. And Ashley is, I'm so excited to have her on this podcast because I've been following her journey and her brand over the last couple of months. And I'm so excited to have her share her story. So to give you a bit of background, so Ashley Ray is the founder and CEO of Mala Collective. The company works with artisans from Bali to India to Nepal, to create products supporting a mindfulness and meditation practice. Merging both authentic practices and beautiful pieces, Mala Collective wants to inspire you to live your mindfulness practice at home and throughout the day. Ashley designs the pieces, such as the mala beads, the crystal kits, and meditation cushions, by merging tradition and modern-day aesthetic. Since starting Mala Collective in 2011, Ashley has taught meditation across North America, taking meditation trainings from LA to New York to India and Bali, and has worked to make meditation and mindfulness more accessible and fun. The cushions and crystals are meant to inspire you to take a moment to breathe. The mala beads are tools you can use in your practice, but also beautiful beads you can wear throughout your day to remind you of your intention. The Mala Collective has worked with brand partners from Lululemon to Anthropology and has been featured in YGQ, British Vogue, Yoga Journal, Goop, Well and Good, and Poosh. And I will link her website and all her social media on the show notes for you to connect and follow up. And if you haven't seen Mala Collective and the beads and the meditation cushions and the crystals, you have to go check it out because it's just so beautiful. And I actually was looking at your website just before we started recording and I, you know, couldn't decide what I wanted first. So I'm so excited to have you on.
Well, thank you. Yes, thank you. I'm so grateful to be here. It's so wild to hear a bio read back to you about yourself, to hear someone describe you. It's very humbling and very, we don't often get someone describing us to ourselves. So thank you. That's a really cool experience.
Yeah. Well, you know, everything you've done is so inspiring and I'm excited to learn more about how you got started and what set you on this journey of being an entrepreneur.
Yes, thank you. Well, the journey to entrepreneurship was definitely an accidental one. It kind of just happened, which was really neat. It was never my intention or my goal. I used to be a journalist. I used to actually cover murder trials. Nine years ago this month, we started Mala, which is wild. But it came to fruition when we were traveling through Bali and we fell in love with these mala beads and we were flying from Bali to Thailand. And on the plane, this beautiful woman came up to us and said, "I love your aura." And she sat down and started talking with us. And, you know, long story short, that woman ended up being the person who made the mala beads that we had bought in Bali. So very serendipitous, unique collision of, you know, two journeys in life coming together. And she shared with us this story of her guru that told her to get these beads to the West because they embody peace. And the more the world wears them, the more the world will be at peace. But the West needs peace the most. We said, "Oh, cool. We're from the West. We dig peace. We'll help you." So very naive, very playful way to start the business. And, you know, I get a lot of wow, that's so cool. And it is really cool. It's not lost on me. That's a really beautiful moment. But I've also gotten feedback of saying, you know, I wish something would happen to me like that. And I think that we all have really beautiful serendipitous moments in our lives every day. We might just not be open to them. We might not be open to receiving them. So I encourage people to look at how many people do you meet a day that could change your life and you could change theirs. And are you open to having your life transformed? Are you open to receiving and, you know, going on a unique journey? So I think it's totally possible for other people to have a serendipitous moment like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's amazing. And, you know, my husband and I, we traveled to Bali 5 years ago, coming up in February, in all of Southeast Asia, actually. We went for 2 months for our honeymoon. And I remember just, you know, thinking about how, you know, life has just felt so much peace, so much more peaceful in that region of the world, you know, for everybody and everyone that we were walking through. And actually, funny stories, in Cambodia, there's a lot of geckos everywhere. And so I walked into one art store and I asked the owner, I said, there's tons of geckos. And I was like, aren't you afraid? And his response was, you know, I'm happy. They're happy. We're not bothering each other. So everybody's okay. And I just looked at him and I looked at my husband and I was like, if only all of us could think like that, you know, that we're just living in harmony with one another versus trying to be afraid or scared or in competition of space with one another.
Yes. Oh, I love that.
So once you met this woman on the airplane, what happened after that? So did you connect and decide that you were going to start this business, or was that not the first thing that came to mind? Like, how did you take that serendipitous moment and realize that this is what you needed to do going forward and no longer be a journalist?
Yes. So, you know, it's so funny. I get asked a lot, when did you know that moment you had to quit journalism to take this leap? And I think that's a moment that a lot of entrepreneurs are nervous about. And I know this is an overused answer and it might sound a bit corny, but you just know. I think we all just know our breaking point. No one can ever tell us when we reach it. The moment that I decided to go all in was the moment I realized I was so full of annoyance and anger and exhaustion, and I wasn't living aligned with any of the values of self-love and mindfulness and awareness. I was in such a grumpy state. I was in such an opposite living experience of everything that I was talking about through Mala. So that was the breaking point. Just, you know, you can feel it in your body. But the journey after meeting this woman, we traveled for a few more months. And we kind of, when we got home, we went back to our jobs. And we worked it off the side of our desks. So from 5 p.m. to like 2 a.m. And those really long, long nights. And, you know, when we have these things we're passionate about, it's fun and it's exciting, but there's days where it's so exhausting. And I would say the biggest barrier and experience I had, you know, we're 9 years in now. For the first like 4 or 5 years, my biggest barrier was around self-doubt and thinking, oh, I'm not good enough to do this. I'm not smart enough. I don't have a business degree. I don't have background in finance. I don't have a background in, you know, whatever. So there is always a new thing to learn every day because I was going in so green. Like, just entrepreneurship wasn't this really cool thing to me 9 years ago. I didn't even know what that was. I didn't even know it could be a thing. So the intention was never for it to take off as a business. The intention was, wow, this is really beautiful. I wonder if we can help her. And it just quickly became something that was so much bigger than us, and having the challenge became pushing through our self-doubt to keep it up.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. And I think that, like you just said, you know, entrepreneurship, you didn't even know if that was a thing and you didn't have a degree and all that. And that's exactly how I felt, you know, and like you said, you just know when you know. And I know when I went on my mat leave, and I've spoken about this several times on the podcast, but, right when I was reaching, first, when I found out I was pregnant, I was so excited because I was pregnant and having a baby, but more so because I was going to be off work for 18 months. And I thought that was incredible. I was like, oh my gosh, like I get to have an end date you know, and have this chunk of time. And I made a promise to myself that before I returned, first of all, I made a promise to myself, you know, that I would find something that I could explore and not have to return back to work. But if I did return, that I would have something else that would give me an out from work. But what happened was COVID. So when I went back to work, and because I work in public health, like everything that we ever have prepared and learned for is for a moment like this. And as tragic and as sad as it is, I was like, I went back 2 months earlier because I just wanted to be a part of it. I just wanted to help. I just wanted to see, you know, what do we do here? But I realized that the reason I had that feeling was because I had now found inner peace in really digging deep into why I didn't like my job. And it really had nothing to do with my job, because I love my job. And now I was supposed to quit at the end of October, and now I've, you know, taken another position and I'm staying put. But I realized that a lot of the frustrations I had for work was within me and not within the job itself. It may manifested through the work, but it definitely was deeper healing from that. And once I did that, I realized that, you know, I knew that I wanted to share these stories. I wanted to share these experiences and have this avenue, because there's so many of us, that are struggling, that are not understanding how, you know, what we're feeling has a deeper meaning, and we need to dedicate time to ourselves to actually do the work and heal from it, to move forward and be grateful for the life that we do have. And actually yesterday I was listening to a podcast with a rocket scientist, and he said that he wrote a book, and he said that, you know, when he does a rocket launch, or NASA does a rocket launch, when it's successful, then, you know, the champagne gets popped and they go celebrate. But when it's a failure, they sit down and analyze the situation and figure out, you know, why was it a failure? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? And he was saying that when it's a success, you should be doing the exact same thing, because you don't know if that success was just, you know, fate. It was just some luck you had on your side, or did you make a series of mistakes and it just worked out in your favor. And he said, that's where you'll learn a lot more about yourself is, you know, when it's successful, why was it successful, and how can you repeat that next time? And that got me thinking about us personally. And so that's the question I have for you is, you know, with all the success you've had and all the amazing, you know, the amazing ways your business has grown, and both and yourself too, what are the ways that you reflect upon yourself and upon the moment and the experiences you've had, so that you can, you know, understand and align yourself with that purpose and that feeling that you had when you first started about helping that woman get her beads out to the West?
Wow, that is such a beautiful question. I don't think I've ever been asked that before, and that's such an important question. Thank you. I'm going to share first more of an analytical answer, because it got me thinking when you were sharing the story about the rocket launches. We will sometimes do an exercise as a team after we do a product launch or a sale or an event. And it's very simple. We just go through start, stop, continue. What can we start doing? What should we not repeat? And what should we continue doing? So, you know, really, really reflecting popcorn style, like, you know what, I don't think we should do this again next year. And then every year when that time rolls around, we pull out last year's learnings. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We did that last year and that didn't work. Oh yeah. Last year we had these really great ideas. So this past version of ourselves gets to come in and help support this present version of ourselves. So I really love that exercise. But what is it that I do to help me realign? You know, I want to just say we've had so many successes in 9 years. We've had a lot of failures, and we just don't share them on Instagram as much as we do the wins. And I think that I'm a really big fan of normalizing failure and normalizing the things that go wrong in business. It's because it can be such an isolating experience to screw something up. And I remember for so many years, I would just keep it all inside and be like, no one's ever screwed this up as bad as I have. And the more that I started to talk about it and share and really find my community, it would normalize this human experience of, hey, Ashley, I did that 5 times last month. You don't have to screw that up. I'll tell you what I did. So we remove that fear of failure and knowing that, you know, I'm a big fan of fail quickly and just, you know, put it into practice. You can do as much theory and planning as you want, but until you try it, you're never going to know. And I think that we often get this analysis paralysis that we feel it has to be perfect before we start. And I really love just trying it. And I'm not saying trying something out where you're completely unprepared and you're going to bomb, where there's a little bit of confidence, a little bit of awareness, and you're still scared. That's when I like to try things. And it just gets us closer. I think the personal side of things, realigning to purpose. There is often times where, you know, when you're so close to your business and you're so close to what you're doing, you're just in the business and you're in the details, you're in the punch list of things. For me, I really find that creativity and that perspective through traveling and through movement. And of course, you know, mindfulness and meditation, those tools that we promote through Mala are super effective. But I notice when I take myself out of the physical situation I'm in, get on a plane and go somewhere, there's a new part of creativity within me that gets sparked. I'm a big fan of hiking. I'm a big fan of getting outdoors. So all of these shifts of environment and routine push me into a new place of creativity to think really big. And when I get into that place of creativity and thinking big, it really realigns me to purpose. And it really realigns me to remembering that my day-to-day problems really don't matter. Those little things that we get so caught in the details of are so minuscule. And you know, every year I go on a really big hike, and I think it's 5 years now, so I'll go to Nepal or Japan or wherever. And just being in front of those big mountains and realizing these mountains are so huge, my problems are so small. That email that I thought was so stressful 5 days ago, doesn't matter. That problem I had 6 months ago, I can't even remember the details of it now. So all of these things we get so caught up in, I feel perspective really helps me realign. This is so much bigger. This is so much bigger. This is so much bigger. Pull yourself out however you need to pull yourself out. It's such an important practice to remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I completely agree that when you say that when you're in your business, it's, you know, and I say it's tunnel vision. So I think that's what you're trying to say too, is that, yeah, you get so into it and you think that everything is, you know, an emergency or everything's so important. And I just, so what I just did in November, a course launch. And when I did it in November, I originally got super overwhelmed because I'm not a marketer. I have no idea what to do when it comes to marketing. But I figured it out. I learned all the things you need to do. And I put together a marketing package and I, you know, created an email series. I created all these posts on social media and everything. And I put it out knowing full and well that no one was going to register because I hadn't spoken to the people that I needed to be a part of my course. I wasn't on the right mm-hmm. platform at the time for where my ideal clients sit. But what I wanted to do is I just wanted to put it out. And originally when I was planning it, when I was feeling overwhelmed, I listened to a podcast by Jenna Kutcher, and she said she just treats everything as, you know, as if no one's even going to read it, as if it's not an emergency. And she says that we put these arbitrary deadlines for ourselves and stress ourselves out when if we just operate as if nobody is even looking, nobody is even paying attention, and we just come from such an authentic place as if we're just doing this for ourselves. You know, that some golden nuggets will come out of that. And that's exactly how I felt in November. I just created this marketing package for myself, and, you know, and I was my own hype person and I got it out. And now I have this entire package that I get to now actually market to my ideal clients and have people join my course and make the transformations that they need to. But I wouldn't have been able to get past this if I hadn't shifted my mindset, similar to what you said about pushing through your self-doubt to get to where you are now. And you know, you wouldn't have been able to if you didn't shift in your mindset. And I think that what you're saying about alignment and just stepping back and taking an overview or a bigger picture perspective of what you're doing in aligning yourself, I think is key, because once you step back a little bit and you just look at it from a wider perspective, it does help. And recently I started pulling oracle cards for myself. And the one that I always get is the bigger perspective one. And it's so funny that this comes up here, because every time I have a concern and I pull a card, and that one always seems to come back up, and it just keeps reminding me to take a step back and just, you know, look at the bigger picture. And when we, you know, and when we see the small little actions that we're doing every day, and when we take a step back, we can see how it's adding to this bigger picture, this bigger collective of movements and things that we're doing.
Yes, I love that. And good for you for getting that out there. I think there's such a fear that it has to be perfect before we launch anything. And that is such, that makes us stop in our tracks. And I remember when we first launched the Mala Collective website, I think we redid it 3 times in 60 days. So it was more of, let's just get it out. And I, when I talk about this, I often think, I had no idea what I was doing when we launched Mala. If I had waited until I knew what I was doing, we probably would have launched it 3 years later. And all of that data and information and learning I collected in 3 years, you know, that made up 3 years, was so valuable. So yeah. I'm so grateful that I put it out there and just small course correct, small course correct, small course correct. And those 3 years of doing, that doing is what builds confidence. Nobody starts, well, maybe not nobody. Most people don't start as an entrepreneur with extreme confidence in what we're doing. It's through action and taking risks and putting yourself out there. And, you know, the more risks we take, the more follow through we have. We're building trust and connection to our purpose, and trust and connection to our higher selves, and trust and connection that we are capable, that we are abundant, that we are all of these things that we are seeking. Those things are in us. You have to just activate it by doing and practicing.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. I think, you know, I just started in April with this podcast, but I know when I started, like I said, I just got the bare bones up. And if you look at my website, it's still the initial one I put up. And, you know, I've been thinking about lately, you know, changing it, but I just wanted to get it out, and I just wanted to start recording episodes, and I just wanted to get the content out. And everything that you learn in that experience is so, you're so right. Yes. In the sense that you learn so much, and you really get to know and hone in on what it is that makes you happy and makes you fulfilled, because there is tons of people doing tons of things, and you can get lost in that noise if you don't have a purpose, or if you don't have a sense of why you started this to begin with. And so for you, it was, you know, your initial purpose was just to help this woman. And for me, it was just to have something that fulfilled me, and where I can actually share stories with people to let them know that, you know, you can create that life for yourself. You just have to believe in yourself and take small incremental steps. And it doesn't have to be, I actually have a friend who, he doesn't take action because he waits for something to happen before he can do this, and then this has to happen, and things need to get in line before he feels he can even take the big step. And I always try to encourage him that, you know, just get started on the small things, and things don't need to line up, and you can do one thing before you do another thing. And if it logically doesn't make sense, it will make sense once you just get into it. And so I do want to ask you about your meditation, and because I think that's so interesting, and the practice and the teachings and the trainings that you do. So when with your meditation practice, how do you share or inspire people to really believe in that practice? Because I mean, for myself, I do meditate, you know, regularly to just stay attuned and aligned with myself, but also to hear those new ideas and messages that, you know, when I'm just working day to day, I sometimes can't tap into at that level. But I've had tons of people that I've, you know, share that with, and have said that they tried meditation, it didn't work. You know, and that kind of sense of, you know, I couldn't just tune out, and all of that. So how, in your teachings, how do you inspire those new people to use meditation as a practice in their day to get deeper connected with themselves?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I think that's a great share, that most people feel they can't do it or they're nervous. That's real and that's normal. When we started, I didn't have a meditation practice. I was very curious about it, but I felt the same thing. Like, I don't know how to do this, so I'm not going to try because I'm probably going to do it wrong. Kind of how we feel like about business. Like, oh, I don't know how to do this, so I'm not even going to put myself out there. And let me just clarify, the products that we make for meditation, you don't need any of them to meditate. You don't need anything. You don't need a molly. You don't need a cushion. You don't need crystals. We make them if you want them. And they support you in that journey. But really the only thing you need is your breath. And I think bringing it down to the bare bones, the basics, is just breathing with yourself. And it really is just this gift, whether it's 60 seconds, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 8 minutes. How often do we just get to sit and witness our thoughts? How often do we just get to sit and go, I'm going to get out of my head and just drop into my body just through some inhales and exhales. And I know I'm oversimplifying it, but that really is all that it is. And we get so distracted with, am I doing it right? Am I doing it wrong? How am I supposed to sit? Should my inhale be like this or my exhale be like that? That's just avoidance manifesting in us trying to perfect this thing. Just like in business, I can't launch my website because this landing page isn't correct, or I don't have this font or this hang tag or this offering or price point. Avoidance, avoidance, avoidance. That's resistance manifesting when really all we have to do is just sit there and do it. And the more that we sit and build that practice of doing, the more we build that habit and that trust that we are capable and that we are able. And so when people ask me about a meditation practice, how do I start? Just sit down and start. You don't need to have a big fancy meditation area. Sit down, put a timer on your phone for 3 minutes. That's it. Do it for 5 minutes, do it for 8 minutes, and try to do it. You know, I always suggest try to tie it to something that you already do every day. So brush your teeth. Okay, that's your trigger to go into meditation. Put the coffee pot on, put the tea kettle on. Okay, now sit down and meditate. Because building a new habit can be kind of difficult or intimidating, but tie it to something that already comes naturally. It creates a flow. And one of my teachers said to me, once you've done it every day for 200 days, then you can figure out if you're doing it right or wrong. Because it's really just about building the habit. Because it's really uncomfortable to sit with yourself. It's really uncomfortable to see the stuff that comes up. And I think that we're so in this hunt for immediate gratification of, well, why am I not levitating? Why am I not hearing voices and seeing visions and connecting to my crown chakra? Hey, you have to show up for yourself. You have to be committed to continue. It's like going to the gym. You don't see the result.
Yeah.
In the first, second, or third session. You don't have to push yourself for an hour. Just show up for a few minutes a day for yourself. And I think that all or nothing approach that we have to so many things in life is kind of what blocks us from starting a practice. So usually I offer start a short practice, tie it to something that you do. And if you miss a day, it's okay. Because we really get on that mindset of, I have to do it every single day. And when we do like a free meditation series or challenge for like 30 days, for example, if somebody falls off on day 4, like, that's it, I'm done. Because there's one shame and guilt and judgment of, oh, I missed it, therefore I'm the worst. Hey, just be kind to yourself. Just be kind to yourself. So yeah. It's a practice of compassion for yourself too when you miss a day.
Yeah. I love that you said that, you know, you don't really need anything to get started. You just need yourself. And if you've, you know, miss a day because that day didn't serve you, it's completely okay just to come back the next day and show up again for yourself. I think that's key for me, where I found meditation prior to being pregnant. I had heard about it and I had, you know, tried it, but, you know, similar to a lot of the experiences I hear now from people, I just never felt like I could get deep enough or I could close my mind that much, or, you know, I got bored after a couple of minutes. Right. But when I got pregnant, I knew that I wanted to do prenatal yoga, and I really hadn't done yoga before. And I remember I went to the very first session in the way it was laid out in the dim lights, and the instructor took 10 minutes at the beginning and 10 minutes at the end, to actually lead us through a meditation practice. And I remember at the end of that class leaving and just feeling like so relaxed and just so in tune with myself. And I had some new ideas and I just thought to myself, wow, that was amazing. And we did that week after week. And then I signed up at the end of that month, I signed up again for the yoga practice. And it was a new instructor that didn't go through that. And, you know, and I felt that what you just described, I felt that sense of, oh, okay, so I guess meditation is not for me because there's nobody here to guide me through this. And, you know, how am I going to do this on my own? I don't know what I'm doing. And she knew all the things to say and whatnot. And then I decided, you know what, like, I'm just going to do the breathing that we did regularly. And so slowly it just builds up. And then you get to a place where, you, like you said, then you can start looking at how you can expand and evolve your meditation practice. And I love that you share that, because it's true. It's just, it can be as simple as you want it to be. And there's really, you know, there's not a whole lot that can hold you back from it other than yourself actually doing the practice. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. And there's so many beautiful apps out there that provide such beautiful, we have a lot of ton of free guided meditations as well. It can be really nice to have someone's voice take you through that experience until you become comfortable with sitting with yourself. And it's so normal for your leg to fall asleep, for your stomach to grumble, for you to hear a dog outside, for you, you know, to hear a car, and then your mind wanders. Your mind's going to wander, you know, let's say you're sitting for 10 minutes, maybe it wanders 100 times. And then maybe the next day it wanders 90. And then maybe the next day it wanders 80. And then the point, the way it was described to me by one of my teachers, was all those points of wandering, if we decrease them instead of eliminating them, then we can find a little bit of space between those thoughts, between the times our mind wanders. And in those spaces, we get those aha moments. And oftentimes that comes, we're in a flow state as well. So maybe meditation for you is running, walking. You know, those times when you drive to work and then you show up and then you know how you got there because your mind went off to this place of like calm and quiet. We can get into those flow states without just sitting on a cushion. So you don't have to sit there still for 30 minutes. There's other ways to tap into that part of yourself.
Yeah. I think that, yeah, I love that you share that because it's okay to wander. And I actually just recently, in the last couple of months, have had my husband do some meditation and I actually gave him the Calm app as a gift. Yes. And here, just try this. It's guided. And the initial one he did, the guided meditation, it said, you know, you may have wandered, but come back now. Right. And he, after that, he came to me and he's like, you know, how did she know I wandered and I needed to come back, you know? And I was like, it's just, you know, it's normal. It's just happens. And as you get, do this for longer and longer, and consistently, then you will be able to be able to just stay, where you are and not wander as much as you did today. And he loved it. And so it actually, what you just said dawned on me, Anna, and I have a question about your previous life as a journalist for murder trials and this life now that you're into. Are there parallels that you can see or correlations that you can see where you just think, you know, I wish that person that, you know, and I always think of this when I look at people that have either, because I think I mentioned this previously to you, but I love just hearing people's stories, and that includes people that are serial killers or murderers or have committed some sort of crime, because there's a point in their life, you know, either before they were born or while they were young, that something happened, some sort of trauma happened that completely switched their life's path. And so I'm wondering, in your experience, do you ever think back to some of these trials that you've covered and think about that person that was on trial and just think, you know, if they had engaged in some sort of inner reflection or inner understanding or getting to know their thoughts a bit more and healing, whether that life path that they went down would have switched and pivoted to a different way?
Well, that's a very thoughtful question. I've never thought of that actually, but that's a really beautiful point. I did find the human experience is so fascinating. And everyone's journey is so fascinating. And I truly believe that we're all trying to find ourselves and connect to ourselves and connect to our higher purpose, whatever language you want to use. And you might be listening to like, no, I'm not. I've already found myself. Cool. That's awesome. I didn't think I was seeking myself for many, many, many years. And I think that this human experience to normalize our pain, to normalize our fears, to normalize our joys, to just feel connected connection with others. I have found my connection with others has become so much more expansive the more I've connected to myself. And I would never be able to achieve that without mindfulness. I think I was also seeking everything outside of me versus seeking it within and then trying to find that connection elsewhere. But that's such a curious reflection. I would say that the things that I have brought over from journalism is a sheer curiosity that, you know, my job was to ask questions. And now I feel like it's a lot of curiosity around what is meditation? Am I doing it right? Am I doing it wrong? And, you know, you mentioned the trainings that I take. I try to take as many courses and trainings around the world so I can learn different forms of mindfulness and meditation so that we can share that. And not to say this is the right or wrong way, but to say, here's a whole bunch of really cool options. And there's not one way for you. Whatever feels good, do that one. And the point is, you know, interviewing as a journalist, interviewing somebody and sharing their story so it's understandable for many. It's how do we take all these tools of meditation and make it accessible for many? So that's really the, I would say the themes, the overarching themes that I've noticed from, you know, that past version of myself. And also just realizing I prefer writing about meditation and mindfulness so much more than what I was writing about before. Yeah. So I'm very, very grateful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I think you've explained that beautifully because it's so true that it's all about your human experience and who we are and whether or not you're, and as you were saying, you know, you may or may not be trying to find yourself or you may not know that you're trying to find yourself. It got me thinking actually about my daughter, because after becoming a mom, I started realizing a lot of things about how I'm responsible to teach her everything that she knows, from walking to learning how to sleep. You know, I didn't know that humans were born not knowing how to sleep. And we have to teach them that practice of how to soothe themselves back to sleep. And to, you know, have all these little skills that, you know, as an adult, you don't know. And I just started thinking as you were saying that about how I, you know, I'm responsible for, in essence, you know, showing my daughter who she is or who she wants to be. And if I'm not present and mindful of that, I could create this character for herself that's not true to who she truly is. And at some point as she grows up, she may think, you know, this doesn't resonate with me anymore. So who am I? You know, I know who my parents told me I am, but who am I truly? And I just, that's the part of being a parent that worries me the most. And I try, my husband and I try so hard to be open and mindful to her of what she does and who she is. But we know that we're not the only ones, you know, she's in daycare right now. So what's the daycare provider telling her about who she is and what she is? And what will her peers tell her? What will her grandparents tell her? You know, there's so much that's beyond our control that we're able to share with her. But, you know, having that ability to just sit back and say, you know, who am I truly, and go through that practice, I think is important for everyone, even if you have, you know, like, I don't know if you have children, but when you do, like, you know, if you do that, you know, you can have a parent that is an amazing person that does self-reflection and knows who they are, but, you know, doing it for yourself is a big task. I would say it's a very challenging journey. But I think it's very rewarding and probably the most rewarding thing you could do for yourself.
And it's also so uncomfortable, which is why I think many of us don't. I'm going through a really big process right now of connecting purpose, like leveling up again, connecting to another purpose. And part of that requires a lot of letting go and shedding. And I was speaking with a Buddhist coach the other night around stepping into purpose. And a lot of us have a fear that we've not connected to it yet. But then what happens when you've found it? I have found that there's still fear when we know what we're meant to be, but we don't want to do it because it scares the life out of us. And there's that Marianne Williamson quote, it's not our fear that we are inadequate. We are fearful of our light. We're scared of how powerful we can be. And I asked him why. Why are we scared of that light within ourselves? And his share was oftentimes the identity that we've created and what we've surrounded ourselves with is our comfort blanket, the people, the place, the things, how we describe who we are. And shedding that and letting that go is so uncomfortable because it means we have to do the work to figure out who we are again. And it sounds so intangible, and it doesn't sound, I could do that. But truly rewriting identity, written in light, I'm getting a bit woo-woo here, but you know, pulling yourself up to this higher place is very uncomfortable. And I did a meditation recently that you reminded me of as you were speaking, where you inhale and you exhale, who am I really? Inhale, exhale, who am I really? But you do it for 8 minutes. So you ask yourself, who am I really? Who am I really for 8 minutes? Because then it goes from, oh, I am, you know, a business owner. I am someone who travels. I am someone who, you know, I'm a daughter, I'm a sister. And then it gets so much more like, I am a being of this. My purpose is this. This is how I love people. This is how, and it goes into so much depth. Actually becomes quite a meta meditation, where it's no longer about the material, but immaterial. And I think that exploration, I love that's something that you're reflecting on with your daughter. And I wish that, more people would reflect on this. And I wish I had found this path sooner. And also I know that I was meant to find it when I found it. So I'm, you know, it is what it is, but what a beautiful way for you to phrase all of that. So thank you for sharing. I feel so inspired hearing your share.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that practice that I'm going to have to do that one after we're done the recording, because it's so true. And I've reflected on this previously, you know, when you go for an interview and somebody asks you, tell me about yourself, you know, you instantly go into the material, you go into like your education, your experience and all that. And the course that I actually created is called The Successful Candidate. And it's for new graduates that, you know, it's 80% about figuring out who are you and what makes you fulfilled? What do you want in life? And who are you truly? And the remainder about it is aligning that with what you actually do. And there's tons of people that I coach that, you know, are frustrated that they get out of school and they're not able to start a career or a job or, you know, they understand they have to go through this horrible journey of, you know, a year or 2 years or 3 years or even a lifetime where they just have to do a job that's not fulfilling to them, that drains them emotionally and mentally and physically. And the biggest thing is that there's just never a time that we stop and reflect. You know, like I said, like you have to choose that for yourself. You have to choose that journey for yourself. And once you do, then you understand who you are and you move forward with that. And what you said about, you know, wishing that you had this journey or had found this earlier, knowing that you found it when you were supposed to, I think it's important, because I feel the exact same way. I feel like, you know, what would my life have been if I had found this 10 years ago versus today? And about the purpose in life that you brought up earlier, I consider that just a journey and not a destination, because for me right now, my purpose in life is to share these stories and inspire. But that's the journey that I'm on right now. And in 5 years and 10 years, 15 years, I don't know what that journey, where that will take me, or how my purpose will expand, or grow from that moment. But, as you were speaking about that and wishing that you found this journey, it got me thinking about how much we want to share. And I don't know if you feel the same way, but for me, there's people in my life that I just want them to find that and get on that journey, because I know that will help alleviate a lot of the pressures that they feel and a lot of these stresses and concerns. And it will lead them to that healing that they need to do. And my mom is one of them for sure. But every time I propose it, it's just met with such opposition. And
yes,
you know, I wish there was some sort of magic dust I could sprinkle that just made her magically.
I empathize. I had a therapist tell me once, I'm a huge fan of therapy. I'm a huge, huge fan. I worked with a psychoanalytical therapist through COVID, helping you go back to your subconscious and find limiting beliefs from childhood, and helps to rewrite them. I think that's such a cool journey. But I've worked with numerous therapists in the past. I love it as a gift to self. But one therapist said, I think I said something to the effect, I just want him to be the best version of himself. And she's like, you know, so many of us want that for people that we love. And we think that's such a kind thing to say. But who are we to dictate what their best version of self is. Maybe that person is living their best version, but to my standard, maybe my standard is going to keep changing because he's going to keep growing. So I'm like, I know you can go a bit further, a bit further. It's like that entrepreneurial, you know, our goalpost keeps moving further and further away. We don't often stop to look back on all we've achieved and who we've become. We're just looking forward for more and more. So I hear you and I empathize because there's, you know, my family as well. I wish they would join me on this path of mindfulness and awareness. And, you know, it's not for them right now and it has to be their idea. So I have to just let it go. One day it'll be their idea and I can't wait for them to be their idea, yeah. But I can't make it my idea because I feel like the more I propose it, the less appealing it becomes. Right. And I've tried like the tricky ways of like leaving things around the house or like forwarding an email or like, you know, these things. I'm like, oh, just thought you might be, you know what I mean? It yeah. never works until someone's ready. It's kind of like when you read a book and it just lands. More than anything's ever landed. And that book might not have worked for you 10 years ago. So yeah. maybe I wouldn't have been as open to this path 15 years ago as I was 9. And so every time I have an awareness or a breakthrough or a download, I'm so grateful. And then there's this like, oh, I wish this had happened to me sooner. I'm like, oh yeah, it's okay. It was meant to come on that day because you weren't ready yet. You weren't ready yet. Yeah. So I feel you.
Yeah, I love that you say you try to leave little items everywhere because I just dropped off some crystals for my mom by the window. And I said, don't touch it until the next full moon so we can cleanse and then you can, this is where you need to put it. And they just looked at me like, what are you doing?
Yes. Oh, they still get malas and crystals every Christmas. They know it. They know what they're getting for the holidays every year, crystals and malas. But that's more of a, I don't know if they think it's a hippie woo-woo thing. They think they're supporting me. So it's very sweet, but I know they did get, they love it, but they're on their own.
Yeah. I love that. And I love what you said about not sharing it too much because then it becomes less meaningful to them. When you do share, and I just had this conversation, actually, my sister actually is starting on this journey and she's starting with gratitude journaling, which I'm so proud of her for doing because she's not one to, she's very much an avoider. She avoids conflicting conversations. Like if you want to talk politics, she will leave the room because she doesn't want to talk about it because she knows it could be contentious. And I've been trying to explain to her that you can have informative conversations with people you don't agree. And you can agree to disagree, but it's important to have those conversations. And she just is like anything that's a contentious at all, even a little bit, she does not want to go there. So I'm really proud of her for starting with gratitude journaling. And so we were having this conversation with a group of friends and somebody said, if you're saying you're grateful, aren't you saying you're content? So if you're saying you're content, why do you need a vision board? And I hadn't even thought about that thought process is a way that folks might think. And I had to take a minute to respond because I was trying to say that just because you're grateful, being grateful does not mean contentment. And contentment does not mean you don't want to grow or evolve or continue to become a better version of yourself or higher version of yourself. But the connotation is there that contentment means you're done. And so it was just so interesting to me. And so I've been reflecting on it since I had that conversation, because I just was like, is that really a thought process that people think about? And that if I show gratitude or if I say I'm grateful for something, it means I can't have anything more, or can't reach for other goals. And should I just be content and happy exactly the way life is today and not strive for anything else? So that was really interesting to me, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on what you think around that. And also just, you know, as you're building your business and as you're growing the business and your meditation practice and everything that you're doing, how do you come back to the messaging that you want to share with the world? When people do ask those kind of difficult or challenging questions, that, you know, get to your intention or your purpose behind your brand and you and what you stand for.
Oof, those are a couple of good ones. Okay, let's go back to the contentment and gratitude because I find that really curious. I'm curious if different words would land differently. Sometimes we get really caught up in the connotation of language. So maybe if it was suggested to them by somebody else in a totally different context, a different language, you know, when you hear something, it doesn't land, and then somebody explains it completely differently, and they're like, well, that makes sense. I wonder if maybe, because the contentment, I never would have associated gratitude with contentment personally.
Same.
That's a really unique association. But, you know, I will speak about gratitude for a moment, because I would say this gratitude practice is something that has completely changed my life. And I started working with a business coach about, is it 2 years ago now? Kind of crazy, 2 years ago now. And I asked him, I've always been very curious about how we level up and step into our potential, because I think that most of us believe or want to believe there's more that I can do. There's more of me. I just don't know what it is yet or where it is or how to tap into it. And I've always been curious. I think there's more of me to give, but I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's relevant. I don't know if people are going to like it, but I know it's there. So I'm going to search for it. And I asked him, how do people level up? How do we step into that part of ourselves? So Ashley, it's very easy. The most successful people I've coached, the first thing they do in the mornings is they do a 10, 10, and 10 practice. 10 minutes of gratitude, 10 minutes of reading, and 10 minutes of reflective journaling. I was like, that's really lame. That's not the answer. That can't be the answer. And he's like, oh, it is. I'll commit to it and we'll see what happens. And 6 months later, I had done it every morning. And I have to be honest, it shifted so much for me. I noticed that doing 10 minutes of gratitude, even when I really didn't want to, and really when I was the most grumpy in the mornings, writing out, forcing myself to write for 10 minutes of gratitude, shifted my mindset from a place of, maybe negativity to positivity, to abundance, to possibility, to potential, to everything positive, being able to see that silver lining in situations. And the way that my thoughts started to change, the way I talked to myself started to change. The way I started to talk to myself during roadblocks in the business started to change. The way I talked to my team, to my family, to my friends, to baristas, to everybody around me, my verbiage changed out loud, not just the thoughts in my head. So I would say that gratitude is a form, it is a mindfulness practice. It's not a sitting meditation. It is a form of mindfulness throughout the day to be aware of all of the things we have. Because we can often get into that mindset of like, this is going wrong. This is going, I'm never going to do it because I'm never going to be ready, or I can't launch this site. It's not, hey, I'm almost ready. Like, you know, just shifting it just a little bit has been such a game changer for me. And anxiety and depression run in my family. So I'm very, very hypersensitive to the thoughts that go through my head. And there's studies around the majority of our thoughts are yesterday's thoughts, and they come from the day before. So how do we slowly start to rewrite those thought patterns every day? And so that gratitude practice has been massive for me. And then your other part of that question, actually, I'm going to finish one more thing with this gratitude practice. Everybody always asks me, how do you start it in the morning? And my answer is always just start writing. So even if you don't want to be there doing it, it's, I'm grateful for this coffee cup. I'm grateful for this table. I'm grateful for this chair. And that's when I know I'm really grumpy, when I'm just naming everything around me. And then it gets a little bit bigger. Hey, I'm grateful for my health today. I'm grateful that I am in this coffee shop. I'm grateful for the barista remembering my order. I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for, and it becomes meta. It becomes much bigger than me. And by the end of the gratitude journaling, it's no longer about physical objects. It's about feelings and emotions and thought patterns. And I have found that to be also a really cool shift to go back into my journal and read them from the past couple of years. That's been probably just as foundational as meditation for me, thinking from a place of gratitude. Sorry for that rant on gratitude.
No, that's amazing. I just was thinking of your 10, 10, 10 practice. I have to remember that one to share that with folks. Yes. It's just half an hour, you know, it's just so easy to do. And like you said, make big shifts, big changes.
Yeah. And that's what my coach said. It's so easy to do, and it's so easy not to do, because it's so small. It's just a small 10 minutes. So I would just have my gratitude journal ready with my sweatpants and, you know, Lululemons and hoodie. And I would just put it on and go to the same spot every day at the coffee shop, or go to the same part of my desk every day. So I didn't have to think, where should I sit and do my gratitude this morning? Do I want to make a coffee? For like all these thoughts that really just are avoidance that come up. So just don't think about it. Just start doing it. It's been so helpful. Okay, and so back to the other part of the question. I believe it was around stepping into my purpose, but maybe you could repeat. Was it around how do I continue to align to it, or?
Yeah. I think it was. How do you stay aligned with the messaging that you have behind your brand, but also when people ask you those challenging kinds of questions that, you know, that make you question, or not question, but they almost in a sense don't believe from their core and from surface level. Maybe. I think everyone in their core believes meditation and mindfulness does work wonders, but maybe at a surface level they don't understand your messaging and they just ask you those difficult questions. You know, because I get that all the time. You know, people always say to me, you know, like you said, woo woo. I get that all the time for people to be like, you know, if I share something and they're like, oh, it's just too fluffy for me. That's not for me. But how do you approach those questions while staying aligned with the messaging and the purpose behind yourself and your brand and everything that you're doing?
Well, I would say that that's exactly why I started Mala, because I thought all of those things. So I totally get it. When it's too heavy, when it's too woo-woo, when it's too much of a commitment of like, you know, I have to sit for an hour and not move and, you know, levitate. Like those things where it's so serious. Mindfulness and meditation itself has shifted so much in the past 9 years. So my curiosity 9 years ago, I felt so much shame that I was doing it wrong every day. So whenever somebody shares that, I'm like, hey, I get it. I've been there. I totally understand. And I resonate with that. That the idea is that it's meant to be fun and accessible and light. And yes, I can go into the woo-woo, but it's also funny. Like funny stuff can happen when you're meditating. Like really emotional stuff can happen when you're meditating. Sometimes I meditate and I don't want to be there. And the entire practice is, man, I really don't want to be doing this right now, but I still am doing it. And that's normal and that's real and that's human. And I think bringing it back to, you know, this isn't this super serious thing that I'm teaching you because I know better than you. I don't know better than you. I'm just happy to share the things that I've learned and the mistakes that I've made and the really beautiful breakthroughs that I've experienced. And I actually focus less on the breakthroughs because I feel like that starts to make people believe that's what they should be having. Everyone's breakthrough and everyone's moment of awareness or those aha moments looks very different. So I feel very, very blessed, very lucky, very, you know, in awe that I have these conversations with people that they let me into their life so openly. And I don't take that for granted. It is an opening of someone's soul and heart of, hey, I'm struggling with this. How do I do that? Well, I'm no better than you in this situation. I've never been in your shoes, but here's some things that I've learned. If any of those work for you, I hope that you try them. And if not, you're going to find it because you're on the path seeking. So I am not the be all end all in this solution, nor is Mala. And I'm very aware to always be a student. So, you know, right now I'm taking a Buddhist meditation teacher training. I'm taking a teacher training about the neurology of the brain. And then I'm taking a training on intuition. So for me, and these are all incredibly challenging and incredibly, you know, my imposter syndrome comes in when I'm in this state of learning. And that's just showing me, hey, we're always on the path of learning. I am not at the end of my journey. I am still learning. I'm still humbled to be learning from people. I am, you know, I don't think there's going to be a point where I'm at this, like, I don't need to learn anymore. So I think it's, I've been there. I'm still learning. And I'm just here to share what I've learned. And we're here to make products that maybe they'll inspire you to do it. And that's okay if they don't. Like, I think that there's a lightness behind it and a beauty behind it, that it's just, we're all trying to figure it out. We're all trying to figure out what works for us. And why not make it fun and beautiful and light and accessible and connecting and authentic? And that's what we're trying to do. And I hope that that's what comes across. And I remember being intimidated by it. I hope we don't give that impression, but if we do, like, God, I've been there. I totally get it.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I love that. That's how you ended that thought, because that's true. It's just, you know, the stuff that you have on the Mala Collective, I know myself when I was looking through and I was like, the beads and the cushions and all that, that inspires me to want to continue this meditation practice because it is so light and it's just so airy and just, you know, the feel of just looking through the beads and everything like that. It just gives you a sense of, you know, what, how can I explore and how can I do this? And looking at the mala beads, actually, and as I was looking at them, it brought me back to my childhood as well, because I had a great grandma who had mala beads, you know, and I'm Muslim, but in our religion, and one of the practices of prayers is through a bead, where there's, I think there's 99 beads and you say a little prayer with each bead. And so as I was reading through that, you say a prayer or a saying with each bead of the mala beads as well. It just brought me back to my childhood as well, because I think there's a lot we can learn from our ancestors or from our history, and there's a lot that we can bring to the present day. Because there's a lot of technology, there's a lot of things that are getting in the way or distracting us or taking us away from these innate natural things that we can do to maintain our mindfulness and our meditation and who we are. And I love that you so I've loved everything you've had to share today on the podcast, and I've loved hearing your story and your journey and how you're continuing to learn and grow and evolve. And everything that you're doing. So thank you so much for sharing your story on the podcast today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm truly grateful. You've had the most thoughtful, beautiful questions, and they've made me feel very reflective. And I'm just grateful for that opportunity. And thank you for holding the space the way you did. It was beautiful.
Thank you. And for everyone listening, I will link all the social media accounts and the website for the Mala Collective on the show notes so that you can check out the Mala Collective and connect with Ashley if you have any questions. Thank you again. Thank you so much for listening to the end of that episode. I hope that you have learned something from that episode that can have you getting closer to a fulfilling life and career. There's so much out there in the world that you can learn, you can experience, and you can apply to your current life that will help you start making those little steps towards a career that you love and that you're inspired by. So I'm excited for you. I can't wait to hear what you're doing. I would love for you to share with me over on our social media, or you can send me an email and let me know. You can visit our website, howdidyoulearntodothat.com, for the show notes and for blog posts and to hear more about what we're up to. And of course, we would love if you could help us grow by reviewing us on Apple Podcasts as well as on YouTube and sharing with your family and your friends. All right, we'll see you next time. Bye.